You are Locked On Phillies, your daily Philadelphia Phillies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms. Spotify Green Room, it's changing the way we talk sports.
I am of the opinion that in today's game of baseball, where so much comes from the front office, so much comes from looking at the numbers, so much comes from somebody's spray chart and their tendencies, I am going to be honest. I have the belief, and I might be leaving somebody out, but I have the belief there are two good managers in Major League Baseball. And then there are a bunch of managers along a scale, kind of right in the middle, some leaning a little bit towards good, some leaning a little bit towards bad. And then there's probably like five or six just unestablished guys who we don't really know about. Brandon Hyde's probably in that group, who unconfirmed. And I don't really think there's probably like really bad managers who have Major League Baseball jobs right now. I think Bob Melvin is one. And I think Dusty Baker is another, who is legitimately, I think, a good manager in Major League Baseball. Those are guys who have been managing since before the front office has really started to take over what the manager does. And they were good then. And they're still good now when the front office does take over. And look at that. They are the managers of two teams that are, you know, in Baker's case, running away with a division. And in Melvin's case, a team that's right in the AL wildcard hunt with the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays at this point. And Melvin's done it forever, obviously. And Baker's done it with multiple teams and been good. I think Joe Girardi falls on the good side of the middle group. And I think the guy who took over for him, Aaron Boone, falls on like the bad side of the middle group, where like he's probably done a few things that have cost the Yankees some games, and they should obviously be better than they are this year. But like the players still got to execute. Like somebody's got to go out there. This is like a larger conversation of how much do coaches really matter? And like, well, I think there's a couple of good coaches. Yeah, it varies by sport. Like obviously you have John Harbaugh. You talked about, you know, the Ravens, like he buys into all that stuff and is ready to go for that whenever. And like, not a lot of coaches would do that. And he wins that game. But in terms of Girardi, like, I don't think he's hurting or helping the Phillies too much. Like, I generally respect Joe Girardi, and that's coming from an Orioles fan who had him watched him manage my least favorite team of all time for years in the Yankees. Yes.
And 19
and
times a
I
year.
I think he's generally a somewhat likable guy at times. And I think he was pretty good on MLB Network when he was there. And I think he's generally a solid manager. But I don't think it means that much, because I think a lot of the times, like, the lineup and where you play guys comes from the top. It comes from the analytics guys. It comes from the data guys who are telling you where to maximize potential. And like, I really like Kevin Cash, and I think he's definitely on the good side of the middle pack of managers. But there are 15 people in that Rays front office who come together to aid Kevin Cash's every move. And we are no longer in the days of where a manager just looks at his 25 guys and says, here's who's playing, the nine that are playing tonight, here's who's coming out of the bullpen. Like, there are plenty of people telling that person what to do as well. And so I think if you have a good front office, I think it's more about having a manager who buys in. And that's why I like Brandon Hyde, because you really got to buy in to still be here. There are some fantastic screen caps of Brandon Hyde's face this year. Like, he's tired. He needs a vacation. Like, Orioles fans need a vacation. Brandon Hyde really needs a vacation. But he's bought in enough to tell us that he's excited to get back here in 2022. As long as you're bought in and you're not a complete doofus, like, I think you can be a good manager. And I think that's where Joe Girardi is. And like, you still got to look at the fact that like, it's kind of the same thing as the Orioles on just a scale of the Phillies have better players in general. Like, they have the NL MVP. They have JT Realmuto. They have, you know, they can go to Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola in the first two games of a playoff series if they were to do that. But when Joe Girardi looks in the bullpen, like, yeah, it was good to get Ian Kennedy, but like, Ian Kennedy's not like your lights out closer.
And it hasn't been good.
And like, pre-Kennedy trade, it's like, who are you going to put in the game? Like, it's somebody else's job to get Joe Girardi some comp. There's a million competent relievers out there, and I don't understand how the Phillies didn't have many of them.
Well, never get any of them. That's just when and even so, like, competent relievers come Girardi. To the Phillies and put on a Phillies uniform, they become incompetent. That's just incompetent. That's just how it
works. That's not on Joe Girardi. He's trying to do his best to use those guys.
Yes.
But he's also being told how to use those guys. And I just think it at the end of the day, it has some impact, but not nearly as much as it feels like it does when guys get fired left and right.
So I agree with what most of what you said. And I usually that's kind of that was the same argument. Like I sounded a lot like that when it was Kapler, because I thought he was just dealt the worst hand. And like he was actually getting win expectancies that was higher than what people were projecting or what any odds maker was projecting. Like they were projecting, I think it was like 73 to 75 wins in those days. And he would pull out 80, 81 wins. And you're like, okay, like he's clearly bought into whatever analytics they're doing. He's clearly relying on them heavily. Girardi was advertised, whether he really is or not, because I think he is like a big analytics guy. Also, he just maybe talks a little bit differently than Kapler. He's more of an established guy. He seems like a down-to-earth guy. I get the sense he's probably a good type of clubhouse manager, which is the other thing I struggle with when debating major league managers. Like it is such a long season. It's not even like football where it's like so much of it is X's and O's and game planning week to week. Like baseball, 162 games. Like if your manager's worn out, like you're describing Brandon Hyde, yes, he wants to come back. But if players aren't really playing for each, like, I don't know how to quantify clubhouse morale is basically what I'm saying over a long season, right? In terms of Girardi, the only reason why I've been so kind of like annoyed with him is because like, if I'm just sitting there casually watching a game, and yes, I watch intently. I don't want to just pretend like I'm, you know, just sitting there, you know, doing something while the game's on in the background. Like I do watch with a critical mind, but there are some times where I have at least felt, and I've gone on to tweet as much. This isn't like hindsight bias where I've said it in the moment. And a lot of people are saying it in the moment where like there's a game in San Diego that I'm just specifically thinking of where it's like Nola's clearly losing his fastball velocity. He's leaving him out there too long. Machado and Cronenworth are coming up and he gets Machado to hit into a really hard out. And then Cronenworth hits a home run. And it's like, well, everyone saw that coming. Like it wasn't like which bullpen guy do you want to go to? Like he just left the guy out there too long. And then, you know, in the press conferences, like, well, I just trust my guy. Well, okay. Do you trust him into the ninth inning? Like this isn't, did the analytics people tell you to leave Aaron? Like what analytics person would tell you to leave the starter in the ninth inning when he's losing velocity? So it seemed like he went just on feel there, but didn't necessarily have a good feel. He did that again with Zach Wheeler. My personal favorite is he brought in Neftali Feliz, who was at one point eating high leverage innings for this Phillies team. He was making his return to the majors for the first time in 4 years and faced Nick Castellanos with the bases loaded. That resulted in a grand slam. You cannot tell me that every other reliever in that bullpen would not have been better than Neftali Feliz in that situation. So some of them have been head scratching. I don't pin him as the main blame for what's going on, but also whatever impact he was advertised to have, or you would expect him to have, like just the decisions that seem like common sense for a guy who's been managing for that long and been in baseball that long, it just frankly hasn't been there. And so you start to question, well, did he look like a good manager in New York because of the talent he had and the support system he had? And also he's kind of messed up the pinch hitting for pitchers thing a few times, which I know it's like the National League, American League argument, and that's probably going to go away. But it seems like he just has more things to manage in terms of the rules and a lack of talent. And he's really just like lost whatever touch that he had. That's why I've been so annoyed with him personally.
More Locked On Phillies coming right up. But first, have to tell you about Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. If you talk to the Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. It's the best tasting protein bar on the market. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors by now, you're certainly missing out. Coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. If you haven't tried all the flavors by now, you can get a mix box where you'll get two of each of the nine flavors. Built Bars, they're not just the best tasting, but they're healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging 130 to 180, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Again, amazing flavors, all tasty, but they're all healthy too. The offer right now, if you go to built.com, use that promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your first order. One last time, it's LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. Also have to tell you about betonline.ag. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college action this season, and of course this coming weekend and each and every weekend throughout the fall and winter with new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests. BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Use that promo code LOCKEDON so they know we sent you.
Yeah, and it's obviously what a lot of it comes down to. It feels like when people are evaluating managers, like it always comes down to bullpen management, because that's where you have...
Well, that's what you're managing game. For the most part. You're right.
Yeah, because that's the most decisions you have to make in today's game is what relievers you're bringing in. And I think, you know, obviously the bad decisions get ballooned and the good
and
decisions
the good ones fly
don't get
radar.
Talked about. Yes, and yeah. I think a lot of that, you know, to bring it back to the Orioles a little bit is like, I think Buck Showalter was thought of as a pretty good manager. Like the Orioles came off of 15 consecutive losing seasons. And then from 2012 through 2016, three playoffs in 5 years, one division title, and they won the most games in the American League in that 5-year stretch with Buck Showalter as the manager. And, you know, he didn't exactly have, you know, he had a great bullpen, which helped out. He had a lot of good relievers, but he also didn't exactly have, you know, the who's who of players across his roster. He did not have any good starting rotations, and he did a good job of kind of filling in when guys like Miguel Gonzalez and Bud Norris were done in the fifth inning and what relievers he could go to still get wins. And then he made one of the biggest gaffes in managerial postseason history. And because everyone was watching and it was a win or go home wildcard game, Buck Showalter was basically done. And yeah, of course, he managed two more seasons after that for the Orioles. The next year, they were pretty competitive till the end. And then 2018, everything was blown up and he was gone. But that one decision is what you think of when you think of Buck Showalter. Before that, it was, you know, how he would always leave a team better than he found it and they would win World Series after he left, or how he walked Barry Bonds with the bases loaded, or him being in Seinfeld when he was the manager of the Yankees, or him turning around the Orioles. Like that was all the stuff before that. And now literally every Buck Showalter is just one bad decision he made. And, you know, Ubaldo Jimenez, Encarnacion, and there goes everything that Buck Showalter had built up. And I think that happens a lot to managers too. Like I think in general, Dave Roberts is probably on the good side of the middle of managers. But like for a while there, when he left Joe Kelly in 2019 and basically let him throw away game 5 against the Nationals, like everyone in America was sitting there like, why is Joe Kelly still in this game? And then Dave Roberts went on to win a World Series and everyone kind of forgets.
Sure.
About that,
yeah, but of course.
His team just kind of bowled through the World Series and won the championship last year because they were so good. So you do really have a read on how good Dave Roberts is because he's got the best players in the world. And so I think it's so like minimal because, for example, like, you know, how does Girardi compare to Luis Rojas? I would say Girardi's probably a better manager than Luis Rojas.
Yeah, no, I don't but think those Rojas teams, is great either for what it's worth. But
those teams have had kind of similar seasons where they've had weird situations and weird bullpen management decisions and just weird losses all year. And obviously in the same division fighting around the same spot. And it's just like these tiny little instances that just can flip things one way or the other. And there's a couple tiny instances that are the reason why the Phillies are still technically alive and the Mets are pretty much dead in the water, but they've had kind of similar seasons.
Yeah. And so just one final thought here before I kind of move off the managerial talk, two things I wanted to hit on, which was one, I did a crossover the other day with Ben Kaspic from Locked On Giants. And when we were talking about Kapler, one of the major things that we realized in talking is that he was telling stories of, you know, how much the guys love Gabe Kapler. And one specific thing he hit on was like this curveball machine that they've been using in San Francisco. And that was a curveball machine that they used in Philadelphia. And everyone, including Bryce Harper, kind of laughed at it here. And then in San Francisco, they all kind of bought in. So I'm like, okay, that's interesting. It had to be. And I thought back to when I had Kevin Franzen, former Phillies infielder and current broadcaster, on the podcast before the season. And he had talked about, you know, he had jumped around from a variety of major league teams in like the early 2010s, and how different the presentation of not just analytics, but certain different like fundamental clubhouse rituals or whatever the case might be. Information was really what he was getting at, how that would vary from clubhouse to clubhouse out, and how in certain places players would buy into it because the information was presented in a way of, hey, like this could help you, but like, we're not forcing this upon you. And in other places it was like, we're forcing this upon you, and guys kind of rejected that information. So maybe that's an additional, like a modern day managerial thing that hardly gets evaluated. Like, how do you present this information? Is it something you really buy into, as you mentioned, coming from the top? And can you get players to buy into it too? Or are you just like, you know, I'm the teacher, you're the student kind of thing. You're going to listen to what I say and players kind of shove it off. I thought it was really, really interesting. And I'm not alluding, you know, that's why the Giants are going to win 100 games, but it could certainly be part of it. And those like marginal team morale type of success things. Also on the, just kind of dialing it back to the Girardian managerial front, whatever. I don't think managers are hardly ever the primary reason a team does well or fails, but you expect them, like a good one, to win those close games and make decisions where their job is on the line, and more often than not have it work out. And I guess I just feel like that has not been the case for Girardi. It's not to say he can't be a good manager, but here it seems like whenever there's a decision where it's like, all right, this is a pivotal decision that is either obvious, sometimes he doesn't make it. When it's not obvious, it never seems to go his way. No, that's not always his fault. Maybe the other decision would not have gone his way either. But I guess when it seems like a pattern recurring, that's when I start to question it. I wanted to ask you kind of before we wrap this up, when we go into the postseason here, obviously the Orioles will not be playing it. I assume you'll still be in on the baseball playoffs. I still will. I hope the Phillies can find a way in there. I'm not really optimistic at all that will happen. Any storylines in baseball you like going into these playoffs? Will you have any rooting interest, or are you just going for good games at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still on the rooting train of, can we somehow get the Yankees and the Red Sox out of the playoffs? I mean, it would take a great run by Toronto and then either Oakland or Seattle at this point. I have accepted that one of Boston or New York will get in. My hope is that just one of them misses. I think it would be hilarious if the Yankees missed the playoffs. I would find that so funny. So I really want that to happen over the last couple of weeks. And obviously if they both get in, and if the Cardinals get in, which looks likely, it's just the hope that none of those teams win. And for multiple reasons, including them winning last year, I don't want to see the Dodgers win either. I like the Rays. I think it would be cool to see the Rays win. You know, this Rays team has a couple former Orioles, just the way they're built. Brandon Lau, a Maryland grad for obvious reasons, is one of the stars of that lineup. And I would love to see them win. I think that would be awesome. You know, obviously I don't want to see Houston win either. So like coming out of the American League, if it's, you know, the White Sox, that'd be awesome. If it's the Rays, that'd be awesome. Or one of these wildcard teams. The Blue Jays are interesting because the Orioles have had this longstanding rivalry with the Blue Jays, because it had been like Yankees and Red Sox, and then the Orioles and Blue Jays were good at the same time. And, you know, obviously the wildcard game and all that. I want to like these current Blue Jays. It's a totally different team. They're all likable, but they've just done some dumb stuff this year. And after throwing at Kevin Kiermaier yesterday,
I didn't even ask you about that. Like, we didn't even discuss. So what? I haven't had a chance to ask anyone about that, actually. What is your moral position? Because I've actually been, usually when baseball moral positions come up, I like have a set of rules. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this. And it's really a new age problem. Have you ever seen anything that compare? Because like when the Astros thing happened, obviously that is like in the rules against the rules, right? You cannot set up cameras. And stealing signs, I'm totally fine with when you're on second base. It's part of the game. Like if you're throwing signs out, anyone can see anything. But a lineup card falling out of a guy's pocket, being picked up and then sending the bat boy over to get it and not giving it back. Were you about to say that that's kind of your anti Blue Jays for throwing it at him? I'm guessing maybe you were in favor of it, but have you ever seen anything like this?
Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends log in for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content. It varies by package. Also have to tell you about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all of the parts you need in that storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts in their computer, choosing only the brands their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? RockAuto.com is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for more than 20 years. The prices are reliably low for every customer. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all of the parts available for your car or truck, right? Locked on in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com.
I think it was fine what happened. I mean, he picked it up. He did say he thought it was his from his outfielding card at first. And then when he was walking back to the dugout, Kiermaier realized that it was not his. And he just kept it. And I think that's fine. Like, secure it to your catcher, you know, if you don't want it to fall off and go to the other team. And like, there's not that much information on the like pitch calling car that's more about like how to attack hitters that like those hitters don't know. Like, Kevin Kiermaier knows how pitchers get him out. He's not a great hitter. Like, there's a lot of ways to get him out. And so like, this isn't helping them a lot. It was just kind of a weird, funny scandal that was supposed to be nothing. And then they throw at him in a 7-1
game. And now it's something
when the Rays are three outs away from clinching a playoff spot, and it's supposed to be, you know, a really special game for them to get back to the postseason. And it makes me not want to like the Blue Jays. And you know, it's just don't throw at people. I mean, it just, why?
Well, I usually agree with you. And I think that's where I stand on this too. I thought it was fine. I thought it was kind of funny. I'm usually in favor of any way you can find an edge that's within the rules. And you know what, if they determine it's outside the box, outside the rules of play, then they'll change the rule. But for now you can do it. But I don't even know how you would word that rule. Like if a scouting card falls out of one's pocket and there's a request to get it back, you must give it back. Like, I couldn't they have just taken a photo of it on the iPad? Like, I don't even know where this would go. I thought it was kind of the whole thing.
That's just
kind of funny.
That's just a nothing to me. But in terms of the playoff teams, like, Rays, I think, would be cool. White Sox would be cool. One of the other, if one of those American League West teams got in, like the Mariners or the A's, I think that'd be really, I don't think they have the rosters to make a run, but if they did. And then in terms of the National League, like, I don't want to see the Dodgers. I don't want to see the Cardinals. Like, the Giants is so interesting because really when you think about it, like, they just won 3 World Series in the last decade. So it's like, do you really want them to win again? And like, it's not exactly like people want to say these are the completely different Giants. Like, no, like, Belt's still there. Posey's still there. Crawford's
like,
still there. Total,
like part two, like resurgences of their careers.
But there are some parts of that I want. Like, I would absolutely love to see Kevin Gausman get a ring. Like, he deserves that so much as an Orioles fan. Like, he never reached that potential with the O's that we all knew he had. And he finally reached it this year with the Giants. Of course, speaking of the Terps, Lamont Wade has been just clutch as anybody in baseball. You know, the Twins basically cast him off for nothing. And all of a sudden the Giants are like, we'll take Lamont Wade. And oh, look, now he's our leadoff hitter for the best team in baseball. Like, that's awesome to me. I would love for him to win as well. And then in terms of the other NL teams, like, I don't mind the Braves. I think that's a fun team. And like, honestly, to see them win after Acuña went down would just be wild. I would love to see I need Freddie Freeman to get a ring too before he retires. I honestly wouldn't mind the Phillies. I don't think they have the team to make a run, but I do want to see like Zach Wheeler, Bryce Harper in the wild card game against the Dodgers. Like, I think that would be really fun because the Dodgers are on a different planet than the Phillies, but Zach Wheeler could beat them in a one game playoff. And I would really like to see that maybe happen. And in terms of the other teams, like, I guess if the Reds got in, like, all right, cool. I really would like to see the Brewers win. I think that's a good roster there, but it's kind of more of like, I think generally across the board, I'm okay with a lot of teams. There's just a few of them I really don't want to win for certain reasons.
You know, I think you listed just about every, we were talking about managers, and I think you listed just about every playoff team with the exception of maybe the most polarizing manager in baseball. Your thoughts on the White Sox and Tony La Russa?
Yeah, I don't want to see Tony La Russa win, but I do want to see the White Sox win because that team is awesome. But I've got a take about the White Sox coming up.
Oh, okay.
I don't think, now this could be a little far, like, you know, that you can still win some games and not win a playoff series. I can almost guarantee you they will not win a playoff series. And I don't know if they're going to win a playoff game at this point. They have completely sleptwalked through this second half of the season because they've had such a big lead in the Central. And
yeah, they're only 85 wins right now. And they were like one of the best teams in baseball.
If you can recall back to 2018, Cleveland that year, you know, they were 2 years off of getting to the World Series.
Yeah.
They just dominated the Central that year, just walked through. And it wasn't the year they had the big winning streak. That was 17. This was 18, where everybody was bad besides them. It was a cakewalk. They got to the playoffs. They won almost 100 games, got swept out in 5 seconds by the Yankees. And it was like, what happened? It was like they weren't playing any meaningful baseball games since like May. I think that might happen to the White Sox. And I think people are going to turn on Tony La Russa because of that. And I'm going to be okay when that happens. And hopefully that leads to a better, more likable manager managing that team. And then I can get fully on board because that team is awesome besides him.
Look, it's a, you know, it's a, what have you done for me lately kind of league. It's, you know, you got to stay hot, right? You know, it's all about riding the wave of momentum, you know, all whatever cliche you want to throw out there, you got to. So is the take that you need to be playing in a contested division and be trying to the end? So clinching the division early actually isn't a good idea.
I mean, it's okay to when you clinch it in mid-September for different reasons.
Like no, when you mean like metaphorically clinch it in like May.
Right. But that's the thing. Like, you know, teams have clinched in mid-September where they just got hot, right? And just rode it out to the end, got hot in August and just like pulled away. But like literally, hot, yeah. I think like once Cleveland got no hit the first time, and I think that was in May, we were like, wow, this offense stinks. And we just looked at that division and said, the White Sox literally, like, it doesn't matter that Aloy went down and Luis Robert went down and like, it's not going to matter. They're going to run away with this division. And they knew that too, it felt like. And they have like, they should have clinched the division like a week ago, if you kind of look at the standings, and they have just been pushing off clinching the division to this point as well. And they still
do it eventually. Like the
yeah. Thing. Yeah. And I want to see them win, but I don't want to see La Russa win. And I don't think they're going to win because of that.
Connor Newcomb, definitely fun. Glad we were able to cross over here just, you know, right after the Phillies and Orioles wrap up their series. Connor, where can people find you? Where can people listen, follow you? And you got any other work going on in addition to Locked On Orioles?
Yeah, at Connor Newcomb _ on Twitter, at Locked On Orioles on Twitter. Get the podcast 5 days a week, wherever you get Locked On Phillies, all your podcast platforms. If you're really locked in for Division III sports, I call a lot of Johns Hopkins Athletics. Johns Hopkins Fall Sports, the Division III level, has not yet lost as we sit here on September 23rd.
Like literally not a single sport has lost?
Every single team is ranked in the top 25. No team has lost yet this season. Each team has played at least 3 games. That's football. Everybody else has played at least 6 games, and no one has lost yet. So it's been a fun fall so far.
And you're calling all of these sports, or like most of them?
Pretty much, yeah. Field hockey, men's, women's soccer, volleyball.
No, it's the, and this is your first season doing it?
This is my third season, second full season. Of course, I did a little.
I was about to credit you for the undefeated seasons, like that you haven't called a loss yet. But okay, well, still, it's the, you know, good things going on down at Johns Hopkins. The state of Maryland could use some winning, you know, in lieu of the Orioles. I think the Ravens obviously had a big win the other night. Johns Hopkins apparently doing very well. Thank you for the update on that. And thank you for letting the listeners know. Myself at Dan_Wilson4 on Twitter. Of course, the podcast at LO_Phillies, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts to follow Locked On Phillies. Connor, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag wherever you get your podcasts.